League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So what are we starting with this week?
A review.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, someone should check to see the stats on this because I feel like Luke always gets it right. But that's only because Jamp...
I don't know what we actually do.
I feel like you go first.
What did I say last week? We email. We don't even do that anymore.
No, we don't do that anymore.
No.
We've not done that in many moons. So I've got two wee reviews here from Apple. So if you want to leave a wee review, you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review there.
Apple have left us two reviews.
No, they're from Apple Podcasts.
It's very nice of them. I think they're really busy.
So the first review says, "The podcast. Wow, this amazing educational and funny podcast has the vibe of just chilling with your favorite science homie broskies. Absolutely listen to it if you haven't already. It has quickly become not just mine, but also some of my classmates' absolutely favorite podcast."
Ooh,
so nice of Apple to say that about our podcast.
Yeah. Okay. That was the exact wording of the pitch as well.
It was actually from Cicely. Cicely?
Does she work for Apple?
Okay, so the next one says, "Fave podcast, it's 5 stars. Leave a 5-star pod. Leave a 5-star review and we'll read it out, probably.
Leave your 5-star podcast as well.
Yeah, leave a 5-star podcast, out. Yeah. It says, "Fave podcast. It says, well-researched, interesting topics, and very entertaining. Thank you very much."
Aww.
Very kind, right?
Who's that from?
I love all these lovely
From
messages.
Sleepy Sally.
Thanks, Sally.
Oh.
From Germany.
Wake up.
Oh. Yeah, why are you so sleepy?
Listening to Sci Guys. Send you right to sleep.
Yeah, sorry.
It's useful for something. So before we get into it, we do want to ask everyone a little question. Head to the YouTube, answer in the comments. Do you have hay fever?
Yes.
Yeah?
No.
No? Great. Well, let us know in the comments. Why don't we start the show?
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to the Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jemp and Luke Cutler.
Hello.
Hi.
This week, we're talking about sneezes and wheezes.
Oh, I suffer from both of those.
Yeah, right. Really badly. Not fun.
Hay fever and asthma.
Really?
Double whammy. Asthma? Yeah. Mild,
every single
but
time,
I get wheezy.
Every single time I find out that you got asthma again, because I always forget,
yeah.
the immediate thing that hits my brain is, what a loser.
Whoa.
It's true. You know,
it's bad. Like,
it's the association in
right?
movies and TV shows.
That's a very kind way of putting it. Yeah, that's not the way I was going to put it. I was going to say that I just think anyone with asthma, like, you've got like loser vibes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Not inherently, just because of the asthma.
No,
asthma
I kind of
itself.
Agree. My whole life, I go up a flight of stairs and I get wheezy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, it's like if you've got an inhaler and you've got, you know, big glasses. I've got big glasses, you know, so I'm allowed to say it.
But you've not got asthma.
It's like your stereotypical nerd. Like,
I just think of the ginger kid in Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, Carl.
Carl
Weezer.
Yeah.
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 Oh my God. If you add all of us together, you get Carl from Jimmy Neutron. I don't know what I contribute, but you know, something probably.
Yeah. The glasses.
So this week we're talking about, I'm not even wearing my glasses.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't think, does Carl wear glasses?
Many fingers.
That's not relevant. Let's talk about the show. So this week we're doing hay fever, obviously. You guys have heard of hay fever, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. So do you know what hay fever is?
Something to do with pollen and getting in my nose and annoying me.
Yeah, so
that's actually the medical definition.
Yeah,
something about pollen
my
getting
nose.
In Champ's nose.
Yeah,
thanks NHS.
Yeah, thank you.
And that is literally exactly what the NHS website says.
Wow,
yeah.
What a word.
No, so it does say hay fever is. Hay fever is essentially an allergic reaction. It's called allergic rhinitis, which is essentially sneezing, wheezing, runny noses, blocked noses, itchy, teary eyes.
Mm.
All of these different things caused by pollen that happens seasonally, usually sort of the start of summer.
Yeah.
It's usually worse between late March and September, especially when it's warm, humid, and windy, because that's when the plants, you know, release pollen. The pollen count is highest, and the ones that release them to be spread release the pollen to be spread by the wind. Mm. It gets carried by the wind when it's all windy. And in the UK, it's usually caused by timothy grass. And in the US, it's usually caused by ragweed.
I thought Timothy Grass was a scientist for some reason.
Timothy Grass, he is out there spreading that pollen. He basically gets a big old vat of pollen every summer and just releases it into the air. I know. Timothy is an utter... No.
Sort it out, Timothy.
No, so Timothy Grass is actually... it is actually a kind of grass. So it's that kind of... It looks kind of like wheat. It's used for hay, which is why we call it hay fever. Obviously.
Okay, makes sense.
It's that kind of long grass that kind of looks like a grain. It looks kind of like wheat almost, right? Yeah. That's generally the one that that causes hay fever. So the reason it's called rhinitis is because rhinitis is just the general term for when the mucosal membranes of the nose are inflamed, which is why you get all sort of runny nose, blocked nose, all that stuff. So essentially allergic rhinitis just means irritation of your nose thanks to an allergy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's similar to kind of a head cold, I guess. And it is allergic rhinitis. So hay fever is the most common form of non-infectious rhinitis. So hay fever is the most common reason to get an inflammation of the sort of mucus sort of membranes of your nose that isn't infectious. And it affects between 10 and 30% of adults and as many as 40% of children.
Wow.
Yes, lots of people, right?
Yeah, can I ask a question?
No.
Okay.
No, go on.
Moving on.
Is hay fever, basically, from a day-to-day perspective, completely cured by an antihistamine?
No, we'll get into that later on. We'll get into it later on, but in my experience, not really. And obviously, I should say this, between 10 and 30% of adults have hay fever, 40% of kids. That is not like necessarily the same intensity. You could have someone that just gets a bit sniffly, someone that gets a bit of a itchy eye. Those people I envy in the adverts where they're like, oh, have you got a dry eye thanks to hay fever? Spray this on the outside of your eye. No, thank you. My eye is swollen and I am currently lying on the floor because I can't breathe. So, yeah, you could go from having really mild to literally like basically having asthma. And if you've got asthma, it can exacerbate the asthma.
Yeah,
obviously, because asthma is an issue with your breathing anyway.
You poor thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's time I got support.
Genuinely, the other day with hay fever being so bad, I was sitting on the sofa unable to move because I was wheezing so hard. Oh. I could not get a breath. Really, it was awful. Like people, this is the thing. I feel like people think of hay fever as like, oh, it's fine. You've got the sniffles. You've got your allergies.
Just blow your nose. Blow your nose. It's fine.
Yeah. Did anyone die?
Nah.
Even if they have really bad asthma combined with
Hay fever. It could probably induce an asthma attack, but I haven't found any cases of someone dying specifically from hay fever.
Well, it would be the asthma then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, the hay fever could be involved, but then also it could be like taking antihistamines and crashing a car or whatever, you know, like
make you drowsy.
Yeah, it could make you drowsy. Yeah, but it's like...
Imagine if you took an antihistamine and crashed a car and the cause of death and your death certificate was hay fever.
Right.
It wouldn't be wrong, but it also wouldn't be right.
It is far more likely for me to die from not being able to breathe with hay fever or sneezing while driving. Yeah. I just stopped taking antihistamines because they don't really work for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Take more.
Going all natural.
I actually need to go back to the doctor to get them prescribed again. Anyway, let's look at the symptoms of hay fever. From the NHS, they say sneezing and coughing, a runny or blocked nose, itchy red or watery eyes, itchy throat, mouth, nose, and ears. That one really gets me. You know, itching the inside of your ears, inside your head. Oh, or like the itch inside your throat. You're like, you want to scratch on the outside, but you can't quite get in.
Yeah, I hate when it's stuffy, like right here.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful. What I want to do is take a test tube cleaner. Right, it's like a
pipe cleaner.
It's like a pipe cleaner, but like harder bristles. Mm. And just shove it inside my throat and my ears.
Just clean it all out. Get it.
You'd also have pain around your temples and forehead, loss of smell, headache, earache, feeling tired. And also, if you've got asthma, you might have a tight feeling in your chest, be short of breath, and wheeze and cough. Do I have asthma? I mean, they checked me for asthma when I was a kid, but it didn't go. It didn't go anywhere. They gave me an inhaler, and then I never went back to the doctor. I might have asthma.
Maybe.
Anyway,
you nerd.
No,
what a loser!
Am I a loser?
Hello, Carl.
Not because of the asthma, but yes.
Am I a loser? I realize on the podcast I do with my friends about science. maybe.
Where you bring all the facts and knowledge, and we're just like, cool.
I mean, yeah, I make videos in my bedroom as my job. I think that's quite illusory,
that's
right?
Pretty nerdy.
We've all been there. Yeah.
Yeah, we have all been there, haven't we? So, cause of hay fever, as I've said, allergic reaction to pollen, usually when it comes into contact with your mouth, nose, eyes, all of those open, wet bits.
Mm.
Jesus, why did I say that? Also your throat. So it's pollen. Do you know what pollen is?
Plant sperm.
Well, not just plant sperm, but yeah, that's the main reason of it. It's kind of like, I like to think of it as plant semen.
Do you?
Right.
Yes.
Important distinction right there.
It is an important distinction.
Yeah.
Because pollen is obviously, it's a powder for plants. We've said already, not already today. We said on our live show, which you could have watched maybe last week.
Which wasn't today.
It wasn't today.
No.
No, it wasn't. We said on our live show last week, which you can catch on our Patreon, patreon.com.
We are wearing the same clothes, but it's not today.
We've washed them and changed.
Yeah, of course. We coordinate.
So pollen is about, I think, 10 to 100 micrometers wide, usually. It's a fine powder from plants, and it does carry the sort of sperm in plants, but it's also got other cells in there as well. So there's sort of, it's got the cells to sort of like carry the sperm as well. So that's why I like to think of it as semen, you know?
Okay.
Because it's semen is the fluid in which the sperm can travel through.
Yes.
And the pollen grain is made up of both the sort of sex cell, the gamete, and also the other protective cells for it. Yeah. There you go.
The semen is the vessel for the sperm.
Yes.
Yeah. Spaceship. Yeah.
So when you've got hay fever, you just don't like plants spunking in your face. Which
And when you don't have hay fever, you don't mind plants spunking in your face.
You can't help but guzzle that plant spunk. You just got to
can't get enough of it.
What? Hey, look, you're the one that guzzles it.
I just don't mind we have an aversion. Plants spunking in my face.
I'm not a fan.
You guys need to get over it. It's not that bad.
Jesus.
Whatever you're into, man. I don't want
to. We're not here to kink shame.
You're just both repressed. That's what it is.
So yeah, pollen is, as I said, very small, travels and you know, there's different ways of pollen sort of getting to the plants that it needs to get to. So essentially, the reason that pollen exists is plants want to fertilize other plants or even self-fertilize. Essentially, the pollen travels from the part of the plant that makes the pollen to either another plant or another part of the same plant to then fertilize, you know, the little plant egg, makes more plants. Yeah, does that make sense? It's fairly similar. This is something you might not be aware of. It's fairly similar to how animals make, like, you know, offspring. Plants, this is one way that plants do it, the sort of sexual reproduction that plants do. It is fairly similar. It is two gametes coming into contact with each other.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward across, you know, everything. Well, I say across everything, across plants and animals. You know, some plants can do that. So there's different ways for pollen to be transported. It could be transported through the water, wind, insects, all those different sorts of things. But really, the one that really bothers people when it comes to hay fever is the wind. So that's why on a windy day, you'll be probably not really feeling it.
Yeah. If a plant travels through the water, can fish get hay fever?
Your little fish sneezes.
I don't think a fish can physically sneeze. But
through its gills.
Have you seen it not happen?
Yeah.
Don't make me try and prove a negative.
I've actually seen every fish.
Yeah.
None that I've ever
sneezed. Throughout all of time.
Well, joke's on you, because there's no such thing as a fish. There you go.
Oh.
Oh, yeah? Why?
You've been schooled.
What? Oh, very good.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
Yeah,
and every other week.
Yeah, this is your house.
Every week.
This is where you live. So I suppose conceivably if a fish is capable of having an allergy, then yeah, it could have hay fever. I don't think we'd call it hay fever. We'd seaweed fever. I don't know.
Yeah. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that. Okay. I want seaweed fever.
No.
No, you're not a fish.
Jesus.
I really like sushi if I got seaweed fever.
This has gone off the rails, so let's just bring it back onto the rails, and I'll continue talking and not listening to you guys.
Thank you. Return to tradition.
So, as I said, pollen, plant semen, they use it to fertilize out plants, all that stuff. But when it comes into contact with you, you don't like it. I've told you about timothy grass already. It's native to most of Europe. It's the plant that causes hay fever most commonly in the UK. It's named after an American farmer, Timothy Hansen, who, oh my God, is Timothy actually the guy that caused all this hay fever? It's named after an American farmer, Timothy Hansen, who brought it from New England to Britain in the early 1700s, or at least promoted it amongst British farmers in the early 1700s to be used as hay.
Mm-hmm.
So the mechanism by which it works is essentially when you've got hay fever, when pollen comes into contact with, you know, the parts of your body that it comes into contact with, they release histamine. And that then gets little blood vessels and mucus glands sort of irritated. You know, it winds them up a little bit.
Yeah.
And apparently it says also that symptoms can be aggravated by emotional factors. But like ultimately here, what to recognize is that when pollen comes in contact with, you know, those parts of your body, it releases something called histamine, which then irritates the blood vessels and the mucus glands. Hay fever, it can be sort of familial. So if your parents have hay fever, you will probably have hay fever. And it could be sort of, if you've got hay fever, you could be more likely to have other things like asthma or dermatitis. Yeah, because they're all sort of allergic disorders.
Yeah.
Do you guys know any treatments for hay fever?
Antihistamines.
Yeah. Anything else?
Removing
the nose.
The nose.
And eyes.
Eyes.
Yes.
That would help.
Yes.
Eradicating and lungs. Pollen.
Yeah. Destroying all plants. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I like that. Anything else?
Destroy nuclear annihilation of the earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Death.
Death. That cures most
cure,
things.
Cure for all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Except death.
Well, does death need to be cured? Is it not our natural state?
When we're not alive, yeah.
Jesus. So, and most of us actually, most of humans are not alive.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. Actually, right. we're all pretty weird for being alive.
Yeah.
That's we're a minority.
Freaks. That's right little now. Freaks. Oh, getting off on being alive. Freaky little freaks. So the treatments, that, there's antihistamines, which are fairly straightforward, right? They're antihistamines. They sort of, I won't get into the exact specifics of it, but they essentially block histamine from working. Essentially, it stops the histamine from essentially getting into those little bits that it irritates and irritating them. So that's how antihistamines work. But if you don't have antihistamines, there are some things that the NHS recommend, because there's no cure for hay fever. You can't stop yourself from having hay fever. There's nothing you can do except for take antihistamines, but you can ease your symptoms in this way. This is from the NHS. I think it's pretty funny or interesting. So you can put Vaseline around your nostrils to trap pollen, because that's exactly what you want to do all of summer. Just have a slathering of Vaseline around your face. Wear wraparound sunglasses to stop pollen getting into your eyes. Mm. Basically, what the NHS is doing is suggesting you make some very bold fashion choices.
Yes, make a fool of yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather have the runny nose and watery eyes, you know?
Might double up with the Vaseline and the sunglasses, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why can't you put Vaseline over your eyes?
Do you want me to answer that?
Or? I can't come up with a good reason, no.
Okay, have you got any Vaseline?
Would it work?
Do you have Vaseline?
Not with me.
Oh, damn. Look, do you have Vaseline?
This is not my house.
I want to put it in your eyes to show you why you don't want to put Vaseline around your eyes.
Put it in your own eyes.
I don't want to put it in my eyes. That would hurt, probably. It would not be comfortable.
Okay.
You don't want to put... And you're blinking. It's going to rub it...
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For answering my question.
But next time, let's put some Vaseline around your eyes. I really want to...
Okay, we'll bring it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So you could also shower or change your clothes after you've been outside to wash the pollen off. So every single time you go outside, shower and change your clothes. You got to stay indoors wherever possible. So don't go outside if you don't need to. Vacuum regularly and dust with a damp cloth, and buy a pollen filter for the air vents in your car and a vacuum cleaner. Add a vacuum cleaner with a HEPA filter.
HEPA.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then you can enjoy the remaining 45 minutes of your week.
Yeah.
After you've done all that.
Yeah, exactly. So if you do go outside, look like an utter fool, but generally refrain from going outside, and also spend all your time showering if you've ever.
Yeah.
And hoovering.
And keep your windows shut during summer. And also, hay fever is actually really, if you've got it real bad, it's really awful, because there's not much you can do about it.
Is there a decent amount of scientific research going into this? Because it feels like something that would be a great industry if you could actually do something about it.
There's not no scientific research, but as far as I'm aware, there's not a huge amount. You know, I'm not at a loss to find anything, but there is not as much as I'd want as a hay fever sufferer. The NHS does have some recommendations on what not to do. So don't cut grass or walk on grass. It's a big no-no.
Okay.
Yeah. So let your garden grow wild during the summer. Yeah. Don't spend too much time outside. Don't keep fresh flowers in the house. Don't smoke or be around smoke. It makes your symptoms worse. So basically don't go to a barbecue.
Okay.
Don't dry your clothes outside. They can catch pollen. Don't let pets into the house if possible. They can carry pollen indoors. Yeah.
So do nothing.
Yeah. Just sit in your house all day and do absolutely nothing.
Pray the pollen.
Like, yeah, honestly. And you know, you could get treatment, you could get antihistamines. So we've spoken about antihistamines. They will sort of, they can relieve the symptoms, but they can also make you drowsy. Sometimes them can make you drowsy. They can also, they're also used for other things like preventing motion sickness. And also they can be used to treat insomnia because a lot of antihistamines make you sleepy.
Yeah.
And the reason, like I said, so the reason antihistamines work is they block histamine. And essentially, the reason that histamine is released is because your body is mistaken the pollen for something that's going to hurt it. So it's released the histamine to be like, oh, I'm stressed, sort stuff out. And yeah, the antihistamines will just stop that. But the reason that some of them can make you drowsy, so the ones that make you drowsy would be the sort of Pyritin, the ones that you get over the counter generally. Yeah. You can get other ones that don't make you drowsy. One that I used to take from my doctor, which you only get prescribed apparently, is cetirizine. That won't make you drowsy. A few others won't make you drowsy. But the reasons that the one that do make you drowsy do that is because they can cross the blood-brain barrier and they penetrate into your brain. And essentially, histamine is also used to regulate sleep-wake cycles. It will wake you up a bit. Histamine can wake you up a bit. Mm-hmm. And so if you take antihistamines and it can cross the blood-brain barrier, it gets from your bloodstream into your brain and then blocks the histamine in your brain from...
Keeping you awake,
thereby making you drowsier.
Keeping you awake, thereby making you drowsier.
It stops the histamine from keeping you awake, thereby making you drowsier.
Because
histamine keeps you awake. But if the antihistamines can cross into your brain, then they can stop the histamine from keeping you awake, and then you feel drowsy.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, there are non-drowsy ones, so it's probably best to not... it's probably best to try and go for the non-drowsy ones if you've got to be driving cars or whatnot. But the issue is that there are some side effects. For example, the ones that make you drowsy, they can cause sleepiness or drowsiness, obviously. Lack of coordination, reduced reaction time, poorer judgment. So they say don't drive or use heavy machinery after taking those ones. But like, this is the
thing. Don't gamble.
Generally don't gamble.
Yeah, poor judgment.
Yeah. they can give you a dry mouth, blurred vision, and difficulty peeing. This is the thing, right? I feel like hay fever is laughed at as this, like, oh, it's just hay fever.
It's not.
But, like, it's not. If you've got it real bad, it's not good. Like, you shouldn't, like, they're saying, oh, don't drive, don't go outside, all of that stuff. But the non-drowsy ones, they could give you a headache, dry mouth, make you feel sick. And also a side effect of them is making you drowsy, potentially.
That's like antidepressants that make you depressed.
Yeah.
So silly.
It's just not as common.
Yeah.
So non-drowsy is kind of
there's
a misnomer.
Still a chance.
Yeah, it's less drowsy. Okay. Also, this is something you might not have known. Speaking of antidepressants that make you more depressed, you probably don't want to take your antihistamines with your antidepressants. Apparently there can be poor interactions with those. Or stomach ulcer and digestion medicines.
Oh.
Or cough and cold remedies that already contain antihistamines. And also don't drink alcohol when you're taking antihistamine because it can make you feel even more drowsy.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, no, right? It sucks. And yeah, it's pretty interesting. So the reason I brought up hay fever today is because I want to tell you guys, I found these two studies that I thought were pretty interesting. So there was a study on hay fever in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, it's this really great paper that goes into the history of hay fever in Japan.
Yeah.
And apparently, it's becoming kind of a problem. Like I read a few blog posts that were basically talking about how the Japanese people were getting really frustrated with the increasing rates of hay fever.
Yeah.
And there were some different solutions that they'd suggested to the government to sort it out, like sort of really trying to find a cure for hay fever, or dealing with the trees in a way that will stop them from releasing as much pollen at certain times, and a bunch of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I had a look into it, and apparently it took Japan way longer to discover hay fever than it took, say, Europe. Like they didn't have any papers on it until like the 1960s. They didn't think that there was any hay fever in Japan because there wasn't any of the sort of plants that you'd get hay fever from in Japan. Once it was discovered, the prevalence increased like pretty drastically. So it went from in 1998, a little while after it was discovered, it was at 16.2%. And then by 2008, It went up to 26.5%.
Oh my goodness.
Percent. And this is just for Tokyo. It went from 10% in 1987 to 19.4% in 1996, and then up to 28.2% in 2006. So it was just increasing year on year on year on year.
What was causing the increase?
Probably it could be more, they don't really know, but probably it could be more testing, or it could just be the fact that it is spreading throughout the population. Really, it could also, to be honest, there's not really a solid, this is exactly why it's happening. Mm. But it's just something they've noticed, that apparently Japan is getting to have a really serious problem with hay fever.
But you said Japan didn't used to have plants that caused hay fever.
They thought that there wasn't any hay fever in Japan because they didn't have any of the plants that generally cause hay fever, like in Europe.
So the number of plants that cause it.
So they always did have the plants that caused it. They just didn't think they had any plants that caused it. Didn't know.
Oh.
So they found out, that it was the Japanese cedar plant.
Cedar.
Yeah, the Japanese cedar plant that caused it. It's a tree, which is kind of strange because usually it's not trees. It's from grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they discovered that it was this tree that was doing it. And in 1828 was the first report published on hay fever, but it wasn't until the 1930s that a paper in Japan was published on hay fever. So it took them like 50 years between, I guess, Europe talking about it in sort of science papers to Japan. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they discovered it, and it just increased and increased and increased. After World War II, they did a sort of a survey on allergies in Japan, and they were looking, because they couldn't find any ragweed in Japan, they just, like I said, they just thought, oh, they don't really have it. So this conclusion of this study that I found basically says that we need to do more research. This is in sort of for Japan. They need to do more research from various fields of science and medicine to sort of basically look more into hay fever and why it's increasing in Japan and ways of sort of limiting how hay fever affects people.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, so this was a paper by Yozo Saito in 2014. Basically he was saying this is a really good thing for young scientists to start working on if they're interested in sort of immunology and allergy and all of that, because it's an area that just isn't as well studied as it could be. And it is an increasing problem in Japan. And obviously, like, you know, hearing, oh, hay fever is increasing, you're like, ah, whatever, you're getting a bit sniffly.
Yeah.
But it can seriously impact, you know, your life in summer. Like,
yeah,
in summer, I essentially get real bad asthma. It's something I need to constantly be aware of, because it literally just completely changes my life for 3 months. It's very weird. But also, there was some work on finding kind of a cure for hay fever. So this is a paper from 1999. And it is interesting. So it didn't necessarily find a cure, but it did find a treatment that you guys might have heard of. You guys heard of pollen immunotherapy?
Is it like slowly increasing the amount of pollen you expose somebody to until eventually? You do it with peanuts as well, I think.
Yeah, you can do it with a lot of allergies. Mm. It's pretty much that. They took people that had hay fever and they essentially, they either had them, I think, take tablets with pollen, with like sort of bits of pollen in, but they also, they injected pollen into them as well. And this is basically over 3 years. And what they found was that, people had a reduction in symptoms, but it specifically says, and this is a quote, it's questionable whether there is long-term benefit after the discontinuation of treatment.
You'd have to keep on having pollen. You'd have to take pollen tablets. Maybe you could do it in winter, and then by the time actual pollen rolls around, you're pretty good.
Yeah, so it was pretty interesting. They essentially gave them immunotherapy using pollen for 3 to 4 years to try and reduce symptoms of hay fever. Which, yeah, I mean, it does work. But it is used nowadays. Like, you can see that the NHS can give you that if it's real bad. But apparently also, for some people, there was like an increased sensitivity that happened that basically came back afterwards. And I think for others, the actual sort of like the small amounts of pollen that they did introduce actually caused some issues as well. They did have a reaction to that anyway. So it's not like a foolproof sort of thing, but it is something that you can pursue on the NHS if you need to. But yeah, no, I actually, so this is Imperial College London. So the person that worked on this, I think Professor Durham, was like sort of, yeah, Professor Durham worked at Imperial College London. So they have like this really interesting sort of website thing that has the impact of this research, because it is pretty cool. Like, you know, the whole sort of study then turning into basically taking tablets to reduce your hay fever. And it's also used for other allergies, dust mites.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's used for allergies to dust mites. It's used for ragweed allergy in the US, and it's been used in Japan as well. And they say that it's interesting, because it seems like a very small study. It seems like a very small thing that doesn't have much impact, but it's become this like pretty solid treatment for allergies like common allergies like hay fever and dust allergies. By the way, dust allergy, it's another thing that I'm like, that's a thing only like losers have, right?
I don't have that.
It's the same as asthma.
Can confirm.
Corey.
I'm not saying that you're a loser if you have a dust allergy. I'm just saying that
you are saying exactly that.
No, I'm saying that
just
like,
it's a loser trait.
You're not saying that you're a loser if you have a dust allergy. You're just saying if you have a dust allergy, then you are a loser.
No, what I'm saying is
inverse causality what you're saying.
What I'm saying is that the societal perception of dust allergies is that they make you a loser, right? You know, like in media, name one jock in media that has a dust allergy. Do it, Luke.
Well, they might have a dust allergy. That's not the focus of the story.
Yeah.
Well, neither is it the focus of the story for the nerds. Yeah. It's just, I mean, if they have a very severe dust allergy, I think it'd be difficult. It's hard to avoid dust.
Imagine like Thor, but every so often he has to like have a puff on an inhaler or take an antihistamine.
In the next film, Taika Waititi will confirm Thor's dust allergy.
Normalized dust allergies.
Thank you, Thor.
People with dust allergies aren't oppressed. I don't know. Like,
by dust, they are.
They are by you. Saying they're a loser.
Well, they can't breathe dust.
Fighting against big dust.
Oh, that's the little dust that you got to watch out for, man. Yeah, that's the big dust you can avoid.
You can see it coming.
No, it'd be cool if you know, if we had a superhero with an allergy. Except, you know, next time Malekith or Loki wants to, that's how you do representation.
Yeah,
just one. Next time Malekith or Loki wants to take down Thor, they just put him in a dusty room and have him sneeze to death. You know,
with some dust.
I don't know. I feel like that'd be a pretty like limiting weakness.
Superman's kryptonite, but dusty rooms.
That's it. Kryptonite is outdated. Actually, let's change Superman's weakness to dusty rooms or hay fever.
Dust. Anybody? Dust.
Get rid of dust.
Dust.
So yeah, that's essentially hay fever in its entirety. That is pretty much it. You know, you have this awful disease, this awful affliction that no one takes seriously. And I think we should all...
Least of all you.
I take hay fever very seriously.
Oh, sorry. No, it's just asthma you'd hate.
Yeah. Well, I don't hate asthma.
Okay.
I don't
you
hate
should.
It.
It's
would
not
you
very
think
nice.
Hay fever is a loser trait if you didn't have it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're allergic to grass, huh?
Well,
I can't breathe because of the grass. Loser. Yeah. Come on.
Can't breathe because of the flowers.
Yeah. Oh, flowers. Flowers That's make you. It hard for you to breathe. Ooh, yeah, what a loser trait. You're right. Yeah, people with hay fever that aren't me are such losers.
That aren't me specifically. I pull it off.
Yeah, I pull it off. Yeah. I it's serious for me, you know? Yeah. I have a serious affliction. Everyone else is just a loser, right?
Yeah.
I'm a pick me hay fever guy.
I'm not like those other hay fever sufferers.
So yeah, hay fever. I feel like people don't know that much about it, even though it's super common. You know, like, it doesn't seem like one of those things you don't really think about. It's like, oh, I'm allergic to grass. Oh, you take antihistamines. But that's how it works, you know?
Yeah.
Grass pollen, or, you know, pollen can irritate you, make your body release histamine, take an antihistamine, stops that in its tracks. And yeah, there are some treatments for it, but if we want to find a cure, I think we need to have more people working on it. So if you're a young scientist listening to this show, please, for the love of God, find a cure for hay fever.
How bad can hay fever get? Is it like fully life altering? at the extreme.
I mean, I imagine it would be. I mean, yeah. I've got it pretty bad. And I feel like, and I used to have it worse when I was younger. Mm. And I think if people have it worse than me, then yeah, that, I mean, I used to have to sit in the car at barbecues.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
I couldn't see.
That's tough.
Wow.
Or breathe.
That's some real
loser. Especially if the smoke's there. The smoke makes it worse.
Look, at least I was invited to barbecues.
I was hosting the barbecues, mate.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Who came?
Those barbecues.
What, all 10 of your little friends?
Oh, doesn't make it not a barbecue just because no one comes. This is my barbecue.
You just need the barbecue, to be fair.
Yeah.
Doesn't need friends.
Wow. your complete and utter love of taking an L will never cease to amuse me. Yeah, so hay fever, like I said, it's not necessarily as deeply understood as it could be. And there are some treatments, and it's specifically in Japan, it is getting a lot worse. Shut up. It's getting a lot worse in Japan.
When you say it's getting a lot worse in Japan, you said it's something like the high 20s%.
Yeah.
So it's still less bad in Japan than it is globally, because it's 30% in the UK, 10-30% in the worldwide.
Yeah, but I mean, it is in that those last estimates were from I think the 2000s, so it could be getting higher. But again, there aren't a huge wealth of studies on hay fever. There are probably a few that I've missed, but I thought it'd be fun to just go over this little sort of summer thing that happens.
Just feels surprising to me that there isn't more money going into it, because like the amount of money that could be made if you had a cure for like, no?
No, we went over this in our first episode. A cure is not nearly as cost-effective.
Sorry.
It's not nearly as profitable as...
I mean like an ongoing better treatment that was more effective than antihistamines. Because antihistamines...
cheap to produce, relatively.
But they may not be patented anymore.
Yeah, but they can be produced... They can be cheap to produce, relatively. Be used for other things, so it doesn't just need to be... If you're making antihistamines, you can package them up and say, okay...
Sleeping
pills. Not literally, but, you know. And you are making a killing off of hay fever. You know that every single year, people are going to be buying as much of your stuff as possible. It's like when, you know, like Big Oil kills anyone that tries to, you know, find a clean alternative to, like, gasoline or petrol, right?
Bold claim.
Or, like, you know, buys their company and disappears it, or suddenly they decide to... not be alive anymore.
Or donate £400,000 to the Conservative Party. Silly Big Oil.
Crazy how that happens.
It's crazy, right? This is slightly related, but I do want to mention this. I saw someone the other day saying, it's really funny that all the scientists seem to, when they talk about climate change, they seem to align with exactly what the left wants. Yeah, the left wants what the scientists say. That's a good thing, right? Like... No, but I feel like, honestly, finding a cure for hay fever would be, there's no incentive to do it.
But a better treatment than antihistamines, maybe there would be an incentive, but there isn't one. Yeah, but then maybe it's like, what's it called? That thing that gives you a boner. Viagra, where it's discovered, it's like the thing that gets discovered accidentally. If you're just trying to treat, I don't know, some skin condition, and suddenly everyone with hay fever just goes, oh, I can breathe. And then they go, wow, we've made a multi-billion-pound drug.
Let's sell it.
Yeah. Let's sell it, yeah. Mm. Like, sell it for an incredibly high price so that only the very, very rich can be cured from hay fever. Yeah, right. We can give it out to a few poorers every year, you know? Like, you do a little sort of, I don't know, Hunger Games or a raffle for it, right?
Fight to the death.
Yeah.
Can't be the Hunger Games. There's loads of plants.
Yeah, that makes it even harder.
But then the person with the least hay fever would win the hay fever medicine.
Yeah, the system is rigged, man. That's literally how the Hunger Games works. Like, the system is entirely rigged. I think it worked. The Hunger Games, the hay fever games.
Hay fever games.
There we go.
I like it. Let's make it serious.
Title of this episode. No. So that is the end. I do want to ask you guys a question, because it is time for the quick fire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun.
I forgot about that.
Addition.
Okay. So this week's quick fire quiz is going to have the same rules as every quick fire quiz. I'll ask you one question between the two of you. The first person to answer the question correctly, once I've finished asking the question, wins. You had to buzz in before you answer the question.
Yeah,
I think those are all the rules.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, what do you get if you win, Jemp?
Nothing.
It's nothing. No.
As always.
You get a sneeze from me. That's what you get this week.
Lovely.
That's not a sneeze on you. So, my question for you
Wait.
Is, what are your buzzers?
My buzzers.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well, there's no other sneeze-related sound, is there?
You could do other symptoms of hay fever.
I was going to say you could do the inhale, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeez. Nice. Can we just run those buzzers, Luke, then Jamp?
Okay. Great. Now, if we do it in that order when he asks the question, that'd be great.
No, I might want to try it the other way around when he asks the question.
Right. Remember, the winner gets a sneeze from me, so what's to play for here?
I've always wanted to know what a sneeze in reverse sounds like, so... If I go first and then you go.
No.
After he asks the question.
No.
That'd be much appreciated. Thank you.
Ucha.
Ucha.
Ucha. Ucha. That's a sneeze in reverse, right?
No.
Yeah, achoo, actually. Ucha. Achoo, ucha. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Achoo, ucha.
Achoo. No, it'd be chua. Oh. Ucha.
Yeah.
Ucha. Yeah, okay, fair.
Okay.
Right.
What's the question?
What is the name of the plant that most commonly causes hay fever in the UK? Yes, Luke?
Andrew Grass. Timothy Grass.
Who's Andrew?
Timothy Grass.
Gregory Grass. Just throw random names out there. John Grass.
Very well done, Luke. You got there.
Thank you. Please don't sneeze on me. Oh, no.
There we go. No, this is actually really funny because when I was writing down the answer to this question, I did initially write down Andrew Plant. Yeah, Andrew Plant. Because I was like, oh yeah, that's what it's called. It's called like Andrew Plant or something, right? We both made the same mistake.
Andrew Grass.
Andrew Grass.
Timothy Plant.
Timothy Plant. Yeah. So again, thank you.
All names you wouldn't call the cat.
Thank you for watching this episode. If you enjoyed it, please do let us know. Also, head down to the comment. Tell us if you've got hay fever. Let us know. We want to know.
Aren, right now.
Oh, Aren.
Aren. I forgot to clarify.
Honestly, maybe one of the symptoms of hay fever is making you a bit loopy because I'm feeling it right now. Should we end the show?
Are you sneezy or are you wheezy? Let us know. Or both.
I'm feeling breezy.
Cool. Okay, so head to our Patreon, patreon.com/SciGuys, if you want to see other stuff. We actually did something about hay fever in the bonus, the live show.
Right, did, yeah.
How's it going? You okay? Not,
you know what? Look, we'll finish this episode.
It's crossing the blood-brain barrier right now.
Yeah. So, before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Ashley Miller and Finn TZ. And also, thank you for watching. You can find the full reference for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at Jampkin everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.